going to Hebrews. We're in chapter 12. We left off in the 13th verse. And Lord willing, I think that these verses to themselves have so much contained in them. I think we'll go a verse or two at a time here, so we won't read through and go back. But we're going to begin tonight in the 13th verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It says, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And I so appreciate this straight paths. I remember visiting with my cousin Michelle, and we were talking about this, about the straight paths. And obviously last week we were in the lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Again, the importance of praying for one another. The importance of bringing the Word of God to one another as opposed to judgment and condemnation. That we would bring the love of God to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's encouraged me this Sunday, if you tarry. Believe it or not, we'll be back into the second Samuel, back in the 12th chapter. We could be there forever, couldn't we now? But there's just so much. And in this this Sunday, the Lord just so put on my heart, really regarding the encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ and how important that is. And truly, that's the Philadelphia love. And I do believe the Word of God so calls out for that need of that love, even through Ephesians, which is such a glorious book that Brother Hill hit on so many times. If you get in there in the third and fourth chapter, it really concentrates and focuses on the love of God. It talks about the body of Christ, about how we, by the grace of God, need to edify each other in love. And that edifies the whole body, and they're seeking that unity of the Spirit. And I think that's been the greatest testimony to me of this meeting and the people in this meeting, by the grace of God, is how the Lord and His Spirit has come down and brought such unity in the meeting. It truly is. And I sense that there has been so much love that we've been able to be drawn into of God. And that's what's, I believe, taken us on with Him. Even though there's such sadness in the homegoing of such a wonderful brother in Brother Hill. That was my pastor too. I hope you understand that. But at the same time, we understand we all go to God. You know, we all go to God. He's there for us. This Word is yours. He's for you. And by His grace, we can rightly divide and be so encouraged by it. But tonight, we're going to start with this straight path. And I want us to go over to Ezekiel, chapter 1. And we're going to read from the 4th verse to the 9th. And I want us to think about, again, as we read this, if you can kind of go back with me. I know it was so long ago, but the 9th chapter of Hebrews talked about the cherubim. So, Lord willing, we'll get into this. But it says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward." And I so appreciate this, because the straight path, that's the course of the Lord. And I think I remember again those cherubim back in the 9th chapter as we studied them. Those were the ones that were seen in the Holy of Holies. Those are the ones that were seen looking at that mercy seat. Those are the ones that really had the attraction and the affection looking on the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed over that mercy seat. If you have a Scofield Bible, by chance, I'd like to read you just a couple things that Scofield said here. And I don't read this in anything to be condescending at all to Brother Scofield, but just the thankfulness of what we know. He made a couple comments down in here. It says, "It is clearly gathered that they have to do with the vindication of the holiness of God And then he goes down at the bottom, but the effect was the revelation to the prophet of the Shekinah glory of the Lord. I so appreciate that he points those things out. But it's a mystery to him. It's something that really was never clear to him. And he says in here that you really don't know. It's a subject that's obscure, is the word that he uses. I don't believe by the grace of God I would ever use the word, and I'm thankful to Jesus Christ, not to myself, the word obscure when we're talking about the things of God. It's clear. It's clear when the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Now, there'll be times and there'll be things that'll be hard to be understood for who? For those who wrestle with it. For those who are not going to believe, that are going to wrestle with the things of God and not enter into that fellowship and grace and glory, that we can rightfully divide the word of truth. And that's so important. But I just thought that that was interesting that he had made those comments there. And I do appreciate so much that Brother Schofield did bring to us. If you ever see the references and the different things in the Word of God, it's precious. But thank you, Jesus, that again, the Lord has taken us on. The full overcomer is in the midst of the throne. And notice in that seventh verse it says, and their feet were straight. And in the ninth verse, they turned not every one. They went straight forward. And there is only one way to Christ in His best, and that is straight forward. The Philadelphia saint, we just mentioned earlier, is the brotherly love church. You look on the need of the brother. You cover the sin of the brother. And by the grace of God, when we do that, it inspires to the will of God. I want to have that honey that is so sweet. Straight paths are the paths into the midst of the throne. Help be a healer. And I really do believe that God wants each and every one of us to be a healer with His Word. And you know how we do that? We need to have our feet shod with the gospel. And it's so wonderful to hear of the different ones. And I appreciate it's a small world, isn't it? It really is. You bump into different ones. And it's so wonderful to hear of the different saints that they say, oh, I know so-and-so at your church. And you know what? They brought this word to me. They brought this encouragement to me. And that's why I say, you know, there's some that might be struggling in the things of God. There may be some that you know that are having a hard time. There's some that are still having a hard time, including myself in a lot of ways, with Brother Hill's home going. I miss him. I miss that wonderful light. I miss that wonderful word and the power of the Holy Spirit that would come out in that life. But at the same time, I know that God does all things right. And I need to rest in that. And I need to move on. And by the grace of God, when we move on, we move into greater glory. And I believe that the Lord has shown me that He is faithful, that my confidence is in Him. But there's still people that struggle with that. But you know what? If I struggle with that and I don't forget those things which are behind, and I hope you understand we're not forgetting our wonderful saints that have gone before us, whether it's Sister Wilson or Brother Fuller, I think of those different ones. I love Brother Fuller so. I remember him bringing the Word of God into that classroom when I was such a young little man. And it was so sweet. I always remember his big hands. I thought if I didn't listen to him, boy, I just don't want to get on the wrong end of Brother Fuller. But he was the sweetest man. I don't think I ever saw anything ever in him that would ever cause me to fear. I'm not kidding you. Because the love of God was all over that life. But praise God that, again, we don't look to a person. We don't look to a man. We don't look to a woman. We look to Jesus Christ. And He's going to take us on. And He really is. And those are the things by the grace of God that inspires me and encourages me that He's put me in this place. He's put me in this place. And I trust Him that He'll give me the words to say. I trust His Spirit that He'll give me the love across my heart that'll come out to you. And I know that He's been faithful in that. And I appreciate Him. But again, having our feet shod with the gospel, that is, again, the healing power that we can have in our life to give to our brothers and sisters. The honey, again, that was so sweet. If you know that story about Brother Jonathan, how he dipped his rod in it. He said, I tasted that honey and it enlightened me. And I would encourage us to take that honey everywhere we go. Nothing heals like it, praise God, because there is power in that word. Now let's go over to the 14th and 15th verses. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I appreciate this, that this starts off reminding us to follow peace with all men. If you go to Romans 12, verse 18, and we will turn there. That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I found that in my life, and I believe that you can probably say the same in yours, the more of God you get in your life, the more tolerant you become. Isn't that something? With one another. Now, your stand by the grace of God for His Word, obviously, I would hope that would even become stronger and stronger because you're standing in the Word of God. But I'm talking about the compassion, the peace, and the love that we have for others. It grows. And especially in this text, I wanted to point out as well, too, that Paul is warning us of Satan's dart of dividing believers. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I know we know that verse. Well, what happens if I'm of Brother Hill? I'm of Brother Ty or Brother Scott. Do you think the Lord wants that? No. We're of Christ. We're of His message. And His message is of love. And His message is of unity in the Spirit. So important when we can enter into that kind of fellowship with one another. And that encourages me to run, and I believe it encourages you to run as well, too. But by breaking the fellowship, we fall from what it says in this text? We fall from holiness and love of all saints. And our vision of Christ is hindered. Holiness in our lives fully sees Jesus. It does. Did God send His Son into the world to save some? He sent Him to save all. He wanted Him. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. It's for everyone. And we should love without discrimination. We should love without respect of persons. I appreciate it as I was thinking on this text and again for Sunday. If we have a problem with one another, we better get over it. Because if you're a brother or sister in Christ, you're going to be around each other for a long time, aren't you? Huh? Now, the Lord will take care of that. But let Him take care of it now. Do you understand that we're here? I always appreciated the message of diamond dust and how the diamonds cut the diamonds and all of that. Do you ever believe that the Lord allowed us to be around one another so we could overcome one another? But a lot of times we think that we're going to overcome each other by being smart and me getting on top of you, meaning and giving you a little pound. Huh? No. It's overcoming in love. And when we do that, we want to bring our brother and sister in Christ with us too. You understand where I'm getting? I hope you understand where I'm going with this, because a lot of times we think that, oh, I have so much love in my life, I'm forgiving you. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe not, huh? You've probably done it, and you probably have people do it to you as well, too. God wants you to love unconditionally. But that's to love and, to have that empathy and that sincerity in love that you want to bring that brother in Christ with you. Even if it is their fault or if it's yours, it's just that love that comes out of us. That's that unity in the Spirit that the Lord so encourages us to have. But dove's eyes have eagle vision. Love truly sees Christ. In this word here that we're reading, it says bitterness is lethal. It's lethal. Even just a root of it. I appreciated Brother Chris. We were talking last week. He told me of a run that he did again. And he tells me about a lot of his runs. But, I think of a long distance as maybe a mile or two. And I think I've really done it. But, Brother Chris goes out there 18, 20 miles sometimes. So, if you think you're a runner, you go talk to Brother Chris. But he said how he was with this man and they were going to start out for a run. And they just started going. I guess they're going to run 18, 20 miles that day or whatever it was. And he said, He said, right when I started out, I noticed there was just this tiny, tiny little pebble in my shoe. And I didn't think much of it because it was so small, it didn't mean anything. Well, 1 mile went around, didn't think anything of it. 3 miles went around. About the 12th mile, Brother Chris said, it was about the size of a boulder in my shoe. And I appreciated that. And I was equating that again to the things, how those little things in life can, when they become ignored and not given to God, they can overtake you. They really can. The Lord knows what He's talking about. And there's something about bitterness. Because bitterness is void of thankfulness. Did you know that? When you're thankful in all things, you're not bitter. I hope you believe that. Because it's true. That's why thankfulness. Oh, with thanksgiving. Why does the Word of God keep coming back to that? To be thankful in all things. You know, you heard me talk about and kind of joke about, but I'm really not joking when I said, well, isn't it wonderful when we can drive into a parking lot and, oh, there's that place that's right next to the door. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that. Well, what happens when it's full and you're having to walk the next block over? Are you thankful for that? Do you say thank you, Jesus? You know, He kind of gets you kind of odd. Any more sometimes when I'm late, running late. Can you imagine I'm running late? I won't get into why. But a lot of times when I'm running late, maybe the Lord might put past your mind or heart to say, thank you, Jesus. I wonder what you kept me from. Now, don't go using that as an excuse to be late. But you see what I'm saying? A lot of people say, well, you can turn anything around the way that you want to turn it around. Well, you know what? I want the love of God to bring everything where it needs to be. And that's looking up. That's knowing that He's for me. That's knowing that everything in my life He's concerned with. He wants the perfect will of God in me. And I know He does. And I know He wants it in all of us. And it's a sweet walk and such precious testimony and fellowship that we can have with Him when that is in us and around us. But again, just that little bit of bitterness, like that rock in Brother Chris's shoe. Just a tiny bit of it. If it's not let go to God, will take us down. Grace goes out the window when we start saying, well, it's the principle of the thing. Anybody ever uttered that before? I've done that so many times I can't even tell you. I should have been a principal like Brother Pat. What's the principle of the thing, honey? They're wrong. We have to have justice. How about that? Does that make sense? Well, I'm going to right the wrong today. I'll take care of it. Where's grace in that? There's not. You see, it was so sweet. I was talking to, I don't know how the Lord does this all the time, but there's so many sweet Jewish people the Lord puts in my life. This man I've known for years, and he called me out of the blue and wanted to have lunch with me yesterday, and went out and had a coffee with him. And it was so sweet. Really, for the first hour of our conversation, all I wanted to talk about was what I'm doing. Well, now, why is that? Well, don't you think that the Bible, when it was written and translated over the years, don't you think it could have changed? And I said, I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that divinely and sovereignly He protected His Word. And I believe this is it. And it was so sweet. There's so many things. He reminds me so much of my dear friend I tell you about in California. They're so close. But it's a definite threshold. It is. But the thing that he said to me that was so sweet, he said, you know, the thing I'm learning about in life is if I have fear, I really don't have faith in what I'm doing. And I appreciated him saying that. Because fear is void of faith, and faith is void of fear, isn't it? It truly is. And I thought to myself, well, if you only knew the Scriptures and some of the things in the Bible, it's sure perfect love casts out all fear. I quoted that to him. And he says, well, what's perfect love? And I said, you got to know Jesus for that. You got to know Jesus. And you know, he listened. He wasn't offended. And it's amazing what the love of God can do. Because it doesn't come at somebody in a hammer. Okay? That's for someday. There'll be feet of brass someday. He came to save that which is lost. The honey's going to win. The love of God is going to win people to Christ. It's truth and love. Isn't it? That's how we edify one another. And that's how we're going to edify by the grace of God and give the Word of God out to people. I appreciate that the Lord has shown me that in my life. But again, when we have that attitude of the principle of the matter, or the justice, or I'm going to right the wrong, it robs us of God's best. And the real sad part of it as well, too, is it's not just a personal thing. It takes down many that are around you. Grace in my life edifies my brother. It truly does. The grace of God, when I magnify that in my life, I know it's going to magnify the ones that are running the race with me. Looking at Jesus, hallelujah, illuminates those that are around me. And by His grace, you know, that's what we're here for, to be a light. It truly is. For our life as well as one another. And when we are running and truly putting the Word of God in our life, you can't help but be a testimony. Verse 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I really like these two verses. So many messages in this as well, too. But old Esau, there was nothing men could ever say or that was really recorded against him that was something evil or mean-spirited or anything that was really wrong with him. He was a good old guy. He was his daddy's favorite. You know, there was poor old Jacob. You kind of read about him, and you know, he was kind of mama's boy, kind of nerdy, it sounded like, and you know, really didn't have much of a personality. And you know, here was old Esau. He was the life of the party. Everybody liked him. The outdoorsman. Loved to get out there and, you know, get the birds or the venison or whatever it was. He'd bring it back in, and man, they liked that guy. Yet God calls him profane. Profane means there is no thought of God, there is no fear of God, and to be profane is to be a mockery, or to say, or have a mockery of spirituality or religion. God also calls him a fornicator, which signifies his alliance or a fellowship with the flesh. And that is what God knew existed in him. And I got to thinking about that. His dad didn't know, did he? That was his daddy's favorite. You think he was pretty close to his dad? I think he was very close to his dad. And I got to thinking as well, too, you know, we may be able to fool one another sometimes. We may be able to run around and different things, maybe even in an assembly, and I know there have been. And, you know, I'm not going as far as to say, oh, there's Judases among us. And, you know, that's God's business. You know, there's people that get a whole lifetime and they worry about who's what. And you missed the whole thing, didn't you? I don't know where this is all going, but I think it's going to come out on Sunday. But God knows. You can't fool God. You might be able to fool the people. You might be able to fool some of the different ones in your life, getting them to think you're a certain way. You can't fool God. And I always appreciate that, and I shared it with somebody else today. You know, at the end of the road, you're going to meet God. Only what's done for Him is going to last. Only what's going to be there that you meet Him with is going to have any value. Now, as Christians, we can squander it. As ones that have never accepted Christ, I can't even imagine that. But by the grace of God, let us go after everything that He's put in front of us. But for a few minutes, a few moments of fleshly enjoyment, this poor Esau, he threw it away. Not caring at all for the inheritance that was set before him. He sold it all. He lost it all, it says, for a mess of pottage. You know, we look at that, and I remember reading that as a young man. I thought, you know, how stupid. You know, come on, you couldn't have been that hungry. No, really. You know, it's like, are you living the drama life? Well, what's up with that? You know, your brother was in the woods. Did you really believe that this guy, what he was saying to you, did you believe that Jacob was really making a trade here? Jacob was serious. Jacob was a little conniver. Read about Jacob. Kind of a scoundrel little fella. Why did God choose him, you think? His heart. See, we're always picking on the outside, aren't we? God sees the heart. Please don't judge on the outside. I would pray that by the grace of God, that you know my faith by my works. That there would be a good working of God in my life. Like it says in James, that because of faith, because of the love of God, that there is a glorifying work that comes out of my life. That it naturally flows. If I have to think about it, and I'm going to tell you, I appreciate when people say this, but at the same time, I think they're coming about it from the wrong way. You always hear that slogan, what would Jesus do? They have now, what would Scooby do? I just think of how that word goes with different things. But in a lot of ways, I appreciate the thought of God But when He's in you and He effectually works in you, it should just naturally come out. Do I have to think about what I should do in a sense to be pleasing to Him? Do you understand what I'm saying? When His mind is in you, it should flow out of your life. You can see where I've been. There was a time I really do believe that I thought, in a sense, okay, what is the good thing that I could do here? I want it to flow. I want it to be natural. People know when it's real to you. It just comes out of you. You can't help love. You know? It happens or it doesn't. It's like, you know, steps of how to love somebody. Get the love of God in your life. You can't help but love everybody. He'll cause you to love people you never loved before. Thinking about, there's different ones I'm dealing with. Well, I've fallen out of love with my husband, or I've fallen out of love with my wife. Maybe you think that you have. Maybe you have. But if you fall in love with Jesus, I believe He can mend anything. And it's not what these eyes see. It's not what this body feels. It's what God wants. And I don't force myself to want what God wants. When I fall in love with Him, I really do believe He gives you the desires of His heart in your life. There's a difference. It's effectual. It works in you. It lives in you. It just grows in your life. And I believe that we understand what we're talking about here. I mean, this is, again, a totally different plane. People look at you and shake your head and say, what are you talking about? It's the peach. It truly is that peach that Brother Hill brought out so many times. Taste and see that He's good. And then eat more and more and more. I want to know the taste of that so I can give it out wherever I would go. Thank you, Jesus. But again, this mess of pottage, it's the world. Can be so attractive to our flesh without any care, without any thought, we leave it. We leave God and we go with the world. When we go that way, even for a moment of foolish pleasure, we've wasted it. Dealing with a couple hearts right now, and the thing that the Lord's put on my heart is, you know, you go that way, it's going to hurt you. It is. You're going to have hurt from that. Okay? If you go that way so long, it can destroy you. It isn't something that you can just play with and think that you can get away with it at your timing. That you can go, I'm going to spend a month here. Or I'm going to spend 6 months or a year. Or I'm going to go do this and then I'll come back. It doesn't work that way. You don't know how much time you have. And I'm going to tell you how much time you have. No matter if you lived a whole life, it's a vapor. It goes so fast. So fast. I know you that are even a little older than I am, you understand that. I'm thinking, I'm already 40 years old. I can't imagine that. I know many of you in this assembly have seen me grow up as a little baby. 40 years is a blink. You can waste 40 years in a blink. And it's a mess of pottage. It truly is. Hallelujah. I can see it, and I can see it happening in certain lives. But what profit it a man, though he gain the world and he lose his own soul? And again, it vanishes so quickly. We talked about on Sunday about Solomon. He knew he wasted it. The richest man ever. You talk about Bill Gates and what he has. Didn't come close to old Solomon. It didn't. Nobody was as rich as him. Nobody was as famous as that man for what he had. But yet at the end, when he looked over that great wealth, he said, oh, vanity of vanities. He knew he had missed it. Can you imagine the pain and the sorrow? Because he had a daddy that was a man after God's own heart. He realized at that moment, as he looked out over all of it, he couldn't get it back. Do you think he was tearful at that time? Do you think he may have even sought it with tears to get it back? Sure he did. He would have tried anything, but he knew he couldn't get it. It was gone. There's a time. There's a season for everything. Did you know you're in season right now? You're in season for God's best. And it's now. He's dealing with hearts now. This is the age of glory. Hallelujah. It's a great age. This is the Oh, the glory of the ages is being built right now in His bride. It's time for us to go get it. It's time for us to run. What a privilege. What an honor. What we see, what we know, what we talk about. By the grace of God, that it would again encourage our lives to run on and to run well and to run harder every day. But the emptiness that he must have had as he knew that he wasted it all, that he had missed the mark. As Brother Hill said to his son, right before the Lord took him home, he was looking at his antiques and all, and he says, "You know, son, this is all dust. And only the faith and the love laid up in heaven is going to last." And I would pray that we would see that it truly is just on the horizon. And all Christ said to do is to watch for me. At any moment, our payday is going to be at the door. Do you live that every morning? I really, by His grace, I do. I know it's not of me. I get up and I'm thinking, "Are you coming today, Lord? Are you coming today?" That make me want to live the day right there. What do you think? At night when you're going to bed, do you ever think, "Well, Lord, if I just wake in the morning, am I going to see you?" And as Brother Hill used to say over and over again, and it's so true, isn't it wonderful that we can live like that? Because it's almost just as good if He did come that day just looking for Him that way. That's marvel. That's peace. That's when all these other things that are going on in my life that I think are bad or wrong, it really doesn't matter that much, does it? It kind of puts it right into perspective real quick. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? You're going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. It's real. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But we, you may not be naturally desirable as old Jacob, but his heart was looking for that payday. As we said earlier, he was even kind of a scoundrel. But his heart, it longed for the promise. He wanted his blessing and his inheritance more than any earthly possession or place. And may we so run, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and knowing He is the rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. All right, let's go through the 18th through the 21st verse. "For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." Now, Paul is painting us quite a picture here. It's vivid, incredibly detailed, of the nature of the law and of those Ten Commandments. And I thought, as I read this, who better than to tell about the Ten Commandments than really Paul? He was one really for a large part of his life. He tried to keep them, didn't he? It was his whole focus. And he realized how horrible that was. What a vision that he was looking into. And it's described right here that he was the chief of sinners. He was guilty of them all because he knew that he couldn't keep them. And it was terror to him. And praise God, we don't have to go there. But Sinai is this mountain. And it will darken everything. Sinai was appropriately means a cliff or a chasm. Legality is a cliff, and it is definitely a chasm. It's a mountain burning with fire, it says here. It's black and dark. The law or legality never brings forth light. Legality only convicts. Legality only smothers. Legality only chokes out all life. Now you see the next part of it, which is, it says it's a tempest and a trumpet sound. Peace and tranquility only come by grace. The law only brings unrest and no peace. Could you imagine living a life where you thought that you could lose your salvation? Do you see this mount and what's been depicted of it? Those that are caught up in legality, that believe that salvation is conditional, is a life that only looks at Sinai. Do you understand that? And it's black and it's dark. And it's a tempest and it's terrible. When you get into your own self-righteousness, that's what you're looking at. When you're getting puffed up and you're thinking you're better than somebody because of something that you did. Or maybe even truth that you know. I'm telling you. The Word of God is telling you. Don't be puffed up. Be humble. It talks about the ones that follow Christ are meek. Lowly. They understand. Just like the Word of God so wonderfully brought about the tents of Kedar. You always got to realize that's who you are or were and would be without Christ. But you are the tents of Solomon, aren't you? The curtains of Solomon. So wonderful that He knows how to keep us abased yet abounding, hungry yet full. See, that's being content in all things. Praise God. But this peace and tranquility only comes by grace. When we look into that darkness, you look into that when we look into our self-righteousness. And then that voice. Oh, I thought about this voice as it says here. To them that heard, they asked for it to stop. For they couldn't endure what it was saying. Can you imagine that? The Word of God doesn't do that, does it? The Word of God, the grace of God, you want to hear it more and more. You want to share it. You want to feed on it. You want to let it just shower you all day long. When I'm having problems is when I know I want to get in the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? It's food. And it needs to be consumed daily. Used in our life every moment. Hallelujah. And that's just what legality does to us. Is it's cold and it's hard. We don't want to hear it. You couldn't stand it. It's judgment. The exact opposite of what grace brings in a life. See, we want love and tenderness and compassion. And all in all, we want Jesus Christ. And even that innocent animal, as it talked about here, corrupted by mankind, can't even come into the presence of it and had to be thrust through with the dart. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. This was Moses. The law bothered Moses. He knew it was beyond his capability or man's capability to ever keep it. Aren't you thankful that we know the grace of God? I marvel. I meet these people and I talk to these different ones that go to such and such grace church or this grace or this grace. And I have to tell you, I guess I'm still naive. I said, oh, brother, you mean you believe you're saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved by the blood. Oh, that's wonderful. Eternal security? Oh, yes. Oh, then I'm just thrilling. Filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, we usually leave right there. Because they say, oh, well, I got filled when I got saved. Well, what about how the Word of God talks about there, about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues? Well, we don't really want to talk about that because that's just going to divide us. Well, I guess it really does divide us now, doesn't it? But see, the grace of God, when you really truly see the grace of God, it's His truth, it's His love. It's all the promise that He wants to bring to us. And then, obviously, the Bride of Christ. To see that it's a separate body. And a lot of people that don't understand that, they'll just say, well, what's the difference? What's the difference? That's my bridegroom. That's the difference. That's the difference. He's all and all to me. He's everything. He's saying, I will go. There is a difference. Don't compromise. We're tender-hearted with one another, but there's a stand that needs to be going on right now. And the enemy's taken that stand away from the world, from this country. And it's really going along around in Christians today. So much. I was listening to Europe. They were trying to put together a little historical blurb on, oh, since they now have the euro and everything, they really wanted something for all of Europe. And some of the writers, there was one writer that was trying to come up with this, a page or two historical on it, and said how I appreciate that Europe was founded on Christian values. originally, Europe was founded by Christians. Did you know that? They said, well, it's against our law to put anything about Christianity. That's what socialism has done. I'm not trying to get political on you, but I just want you to understand where things are going. They talk about in our country, again, taking God off of our money. You can't have a Bible at work. Like sister over here was talking to the man in the store. Well, he couldn't talk about God then, could he? Because he gets fired. Talk about how the rights of all these different groups. It was kind of interesting. They were talking about homosexuality. And some of the things that they were doing in some of the different states as far as trying to pass that they were going to acknowledge the unions. And one person spoke out and said, well, do you realize that there could be a possibility, not to scare you about this stuff or anything like this, but just to kind of let you know where things are going. Well, if we put this into law, and they were having a conversation about it, then you couldn't speak out against it. You couldn't. Well, if you couldn't speak out against it, there would be parts of the Word of God that you'd have to take out as well, too. You realize that? Sin is sin. I hope we know that. I'm not trying to point out different things. The sin that so easily besets us is just our lack of faith. Okay? Paul said, don't let sin reign in your life. Didn't say don't let it exist. He knew it would be, it's going to challenge you. You're still in a flesh body. When you get that new one, hallelujah, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Your faith's going to be made whole. Thank you, Jesus, to be in the presence of my faith. I don't need it no more because He's there. Hallelujah. All I do is just worship Him at that moment. Isn't that wonderful? Don't need to combat this thing anymore. That gives me hope. But this is what's pulling at you. This is what you're fighting every day. These are the things that you battle, and it comes into your home, believe it or not, because it comes in through a TV, comes in through a computer. Doesn't mean that you just throw them out of your house and you do all those things. But allow the Lord to give you wisdom. See, when you put your guard down in the things of God, and the guard is the Word of God. It really is. Your guard is the Word of God. Been studying so much there in Philippians this week about whatsoever things are pure. And honest and lovely and of a good report. And I just so appreciate God said, if there's anything of virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. That's what I'm to meditate on. Awful quiet. But I think, what are we meditating on? I don't want to get lax in the things of God. It's His grace. And it's a beautiful walk. It's a beautiful run with Him, isn't it? But that's the encouraging thing. And that's what I want to bring home to my children. That's what I want to share with my wife. I know the enemy's going to battle. But by the grace of God, this is the blueprint that He wants in my life. And as I yield to it and I make those decisions, there are decisions every day that we're going to make. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Don't sell it out for that mess of pottage. Don't sell it out for that mess of pottage. We're so close. We've come so far. Haven't we? Hallelujah. We have come so far. God has brought us right to the threshold. Hallelujah. And we're about to go. We're about to go. Thank you, Jesus. But how much clearer could it be? As Moses said, it brings terror to me to look at this. I exceedingly fear and I quake to look at this self-righteousness. Aaron was the type of Christ, was our great high priest that stood between God and that sinful and the sinful people. And if Christ's blood covers us, hallelujah, we're saved. But if we don't have the blood of Christ on us, we'll be slain by that fiery law. And that's our Jesus. That's our Jesus, hallelujah, for the joy that was set before Him. He endured it. He endured that Sinai for me. He did. He endured that. He endured the cross, the sin. Him that knew no sin, He bore it all. He took it all. And we now, by grace and grace alone are going to look into Zion. Hallelujah. Next week. And I hope we're looking at Zion right now. Praise God. Just to give you a little verse in Psalms 48:2, it says, "The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion." See, there's no joy without Jesus Christ. That's your joy. If we're getting joy in any other thing, it's false. It's going to end. It's a mess of pottage. And I love how the Lord just brings that back again and again in my life. There's wonderful things that He gives you. I know He blesses His children. He's blessed me so, and I appreciate Him. But you know, it's the things. It's the things that can get in our way. And I appreciate Esau. It was a natural thing that got in his way, wasn't it? It was just his hunger. It was a natural thing that just got in the way of those disciples there when they needed the sleep. And Christ came back and said, "Couldn't you tarry just a little while longer?" We're fighting something pretty weak here, aren't we? But the Spirit's able. The Spirit's willing in your life to give you God's best. And it's there for us. Hallelujah. May we be like Jacob and appreciate the promise. He appreciated it so much it wasn't his. Isn't that like it is? Some people have things and I always remember being, as a kid, I got to ride in some really nice cars. You know, the guys riding around in the car, they don't really appreciate it. I'm in this one. Oh, man, this is great. Well, Jacob knew that was great. He knew it was his brother's, but he wanted it so for himself. We can look at it a lot of different ways and say, well, he stole it from him. No, he gave it to him because he didn't appreciate it. And God's there to give you a crown. And He said to hold it fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's the vision of the out-resurrection. It is. It's brotherly love. It's come out from among them and be ye separate. It's living what He's given you. And it's almost time to cash in on it. Our payday is just around the corner. I appreciate you all. Let's pray.